This is the voice of Türkiye. This is the voice of Türkiye.
Today is Friday, 12th of April, 2023. This is the news in English on the Voice of Türkiye. Israeli military braces for potential Iranian attack. Israeli army on Friday approved plans for a potential strike on Iran if Israel faced an attack from Iranian territory, Israeli media reported. Israel on Friday was bracing for a possible attack from Iran after understanding that Tehran would not back down from its intent to avenge the killing of a senior member of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Quds Force in Damascus last week in a strike attributed to Israel, the daily Yedioth Aronoth reported. It said that the Israeli army and Mossad approved plans for an attack on Iran in the event that Israel would come under attack from Iranian territory. Coordination between the U.S. and Israeli militaries has increased, it added. Israel is on high alert amid fears of a possible Iranian attack in retaliation for an alleged Israeli strike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus on April the 1st, according to Israeli media. At least 7 members of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps were killed in the attack, including 2 top generals. Israel Foreign Minister Israel Katz threatened Wednesday that his country's military would strike Iran directly if Tehran launched an attack from its territory against Israel. The escalation comes as Israel continues to wage a deadly military offensive on the Gaza Strip following a cross-border attack in early October by the Palestinian group Hamas, which killed around 1,200 people. More than 33,500 Palestinians have since been killed in Gaza and over 76,000 injured amid mass destruction and displacements. In a related news, UK expresses deep concern over potential for further escalation in the Middle East. Britain's Foreign Secretary warned Thursday of the potential miscalculation which could lead to further violence in the Middle East amid threats by Iran to retaliate against Israel following this month's deadly airstrike on the Iranian consulate in Syria. Today I made clear to Foreign Minister Hussein Amir Abdullahian that Iran must not draw the Middle East into a wider conflict, David Cameron wrote on X. He said he is deeply concerned about the potential for miscalculation leading to further violence. Iran should instead work to de-escalate and prevent further attacks, he added. In another related news, U.S. limits embassy staff's travel within Israel amid Iranian threat. The U.S. asked its embassy employees and their families in Israel on Thursday to restrict their travels in the country amid threats by Iran to retaliate for an attack on its consulate in Syria. Out of an abundance of caution, the U.S. government employees and their family members are restricted from personal travel outside the greater Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Beersheba areas until further notice, the U.S. embassy said in a security alert posted on its website. U.S. government personnel are authorized to transit between these 3 areas for personal travel, it added. Staying in Middle East, U.S. destroys Houthi anti-ship ballistic missiles in Red Sea. The U.S. Central Command, the CENTCOM, said its forces destroyed an anti-ship ballistic missile launched over the Red Sea on Thursday by Yemen's Houthi group. There were no injuries or damage reported by the U.S. coalition or commercial ships, CENTCOM said on X. CENTCOM said it determined that the missile presented an imminent threat to U.S. and the coalition forces and merchant vessels in the region. Yemen's Houthi group has been targeting cargo ships in the Red Sea, owned or operated by Israeli companies, or transporting goods to and from Israel in solidarity with the Gaza Strip, which has been under an Israeli onslaught since October 7th. The Red Sea is one of the world's most frequently used sea routes for oil and fuel shipments. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin recently announced the creation of a multinational mission, Operation Prosperity Guardian, to counter the Houthi attacks. Families of Israeli hostages clash with police amid failure to reach a swap deal. Relatives of Israeli hostages being held by the Palestinian group Hamas demonstrated outside the Defense Ministry headquarters in Tel Aviv on Thursday, clashing with police. The protesters blocked the road and disrupted traffic near the building, Israeli public broadcaster Kan reported. Israeli police said in a statement that they cleared the protesters from the Ayalon Highway in Tel Aviv, where they were blocking traffic. Four protesters were arrested for violating orders and endangering road users, the police said. The protest came amid anger among hostages' families over the government's failure to reach a prisoner swap agreement with Hamas. A new round of indirect negotiations between Israel and Hamas kicked off in Egypt on Sunday to reach an agreement for a ceasefire in Gaza and prisoner swap. A Palestinian source familiar with the talks said Monday that a new proposal presented in Cairo recommended that a ceasefire plan be implemented in three stages, including the conditional return of Palestinians to northern Gaza. Hamas is estimated to be holding more than 130 Israeli hostages, while Israel is holding more than 9,100 Palestinians in its jails. And Japanese Premier hails U.S. pivotal role in world affairs. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida said Thursday that the U.S. must continue to play a major role in global affairs. The world needs the United States to continue playing this pivotal role in the affairs of nations, Kishida said during an address to a joint meeting of United States Congress. Kishida said he was speaking to lawmakers as a long and close friend of the U.S. as the first Japanese prime minister to address the Congress since 2015 and was the sixth foreign leader to address American lawmakers during the presidency of Joe Biden. And yet, as we meet here today, I detect an undercurrent of self-doubt among some Americans about what your role in the world should be, said the premier. He said freedom and democracy are currently under threat around the globe, as he stressed that the international order is facing new challenges, citing Russia, China, and North Korea, stressing that China presents an unprecedented and the greatest strategic challenge not only to Japan, but to the peace and stability of the international community. Kishida said Japan's commitment to upholding a free and open international order based on the rule of law as well as peace will continue to define its agenda moving forward. Turning to the war in Ukraine, Kishida decreed the Russian war against Kyiv as unprovoked, unjust, and brutal. As I often say, the Ukraine of today may be the East Asia of tomorrow, he said, adding, close coordination between Japan and the U.S. is required more than ever to ensure that the deterrence Japan-U.S. alliance provides remains credible and resilient. The leadership of the United States is indispensable. Without U.S. support, how long till hopes of Ukraine will collapse under the onslaught from Moscow, said Kishida, stressing that Japan will continue to stand with Ukraine. Regarding ties with the U.S., Kishida said Japan has become a global partner with the U.S. and hailed the close vision and approach between the two countries. And in a related news and in response to Kishida's comments, Biden says U.S. commitments to defend Philippines, Japan's ironclad as tensions with China rise. U.S. commitments to defend Japan and the Philippines are ironclad, U.S. President Joe Biden said Thursday as he hosted his regional counterparts amid increasing provocations from China. I want to be clear, the United States' defense commitments to Japan and to the Philippines are ironclad. They are ironclad, the president said during brief remarks to reporters before a first-of-its-kind trilateral summit. Any attack on Philippine aircraft, vessels, or armed forces in the South China Sea would invoke our mutual defense treaty, he added. Biden's reassurances came as he hosted Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. Chinese ships have grown increasingly assertive in the South China Sea, where they have repeatedly antagonized Philippine naval vessels amid conflicting maritime claims. Marcos has vowed to respond to the incidents, which have included firing upon Philippine Coast Guard ships with water cannons and shining lasers at the vessels. Over the succeeding weeks, there shall be implemented by the relevant national government agencies and instrumentalities a response and countermeasure package that is proportionate, deliberate, and reasonable in the face of the open, unabating, and illegal, coercive, aggressive, and dangerous attacks by agents of the China Coast Guard and the Chinese Maritime Militia, Marcos said on X. The Chinese Coast Guard has repeatedly tried to block Manila's supplies to its grounded warship, BRP Sierra Madre, in disputed waters in the West Waterway. Manila said the incidents have injured its personnel and damaged its vehicles. China and the Philippines have conflicting claims over the second Thomas Shoal, also known as the Ayungin Shoal, by Komei and Renai Jiao, which is a submerged reef in the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea. An international tribunal overwhelmingly ruled in favor of the Philippines' maritime claims in 2016, rejecting much of China's claims, including its efforts to develop artificial islands to stake out naval claims in the South China Sea. Beijing has not recognized the ruling, declaring it null and void. The U.S. and the Philippines signed a mutual defense treaty in 1951, just 9 years before Washington and Tokyo signed a similar pact. And that was News in English on the Voice of Turkey.
All around the world, every hour of the day, TRT Voice of Turkey is with you.
Benzer biraz. Bir aşk içinde yandım çok zaman. Söyle, koca bir hayat nasıl geçer? Senle geçen her ömür sana benzer. Şimdi söyle bu hayat nasıl geçer? Sensiz geçen her ömür güle benzer. Gökte parlayan ay kalpte, incinen söz çölde, ışıldayan su sana benzer. Gökte parlayan ay kalpte, incinen söz çölde, ışıldayan su sana benzer. Gökte parlayan ay kalpte, incinen söz çölde, ışıldayan su sana benzer. Gökte parlayan ay kalpte, incinen söz çölde, ışıldayan su sana benzer.
Always by your side.
Weekly analysis.
Facing major economic crises and balance of payments problems, Egypt received a lifeline from the global system. Initially, a $35 billion investment agreement was made with the United Arab Emirates, followed by a new loan agreement with the IMF, and finally the World Bank and the European Union announced support programs for Egypt. We present the evaluation of SETA foreign policy researcher Can Acun on this subject. For a long time, the Egyptian economy had been in a major crisis. Since Abdel Fattah el-Sisi came to power, the country's economy has failed to recover. While resources in the economy under military control were poorly utilized, high imports of defense products increasingly added to the country's debts. With a significant trade deficit, the country accumulated $160 billion external debt. Although the central bank was sustained by swaps coming from abroad, there were significant difficulties in financing external debt, and it seemed very difficult to roll over the debts in the current situation. Israel's occupation of Gaza and its regional effects also exacerbated Egypt's poor economic situation. While the macroeconomic dynamics in the country were on the brink of bankruptcy, the situation was even worse for the average Egyptian. Purchasing power was eroding, and even meeting basic needs had become a major issue. With a population of over 100 million, Egypt's population is increasing by over a million every year, and social anger is accumulating. In such a conjuncture, when the Egyptian economy was on the brink of bankruptcy, finally a global process was initiated, and the Egyptian economy began to be supported from abroad. First, the United Arab Emirates intervened, deciding to invest $35 billion in the city of Ras Al Khaimah on the northern coast, providing foreign exchange to Egypt. Although this step was criticized for selling Egyptian territory, it is clear that the Sisi administration is pleased with the agreement, providing relief for Egypt's foreign exchange needs and debts. Then the IMF stepped in and decided to provide a loan to Egypt, subject to the devaluation of the exchange rates and the fulfillment of some other conditions. Similarly, the World Bank and the European Union also announced billion-dollar packages. As a result, Egypt quickly obtained the billions of dollars it needed. However, with high devaluation, the Egyptian people are entering a period of further impoverishment and hardship. Again, structurally, no steps have been taken in the country, while the military's dominance in the economy continues, and the country's resources are being allocated to military spending and inefficient projects. The aid provided will only keep Egypt standing for a while longer, but without the necessary reforms. It is not easy to see the Egyptian economy settling sustainably. In fact, the world has confirmed that Egypt is too big to fail, and a possible economic collapse would pose serious problems for both the region and the world, especially in terms of a new refugee migration traffic for Western countries, given its proximity to Gaza. Moreover, actors who want to keep Egypt on their side in the relevant balances, especially due to its border with Gaza, are currently opening their wallets. We presented the evaluation of SETA foreign policy researcher John Ajun on this subject.
Weekly analysis.
All around the world, every hour of the day, TRT Voice of Turkey is with you.
Bir çocuk sevdim uzak.
The Voice of Turkey, always by your side.
Turkish Folk Tales.
Hello, and once again, welcome to another edition of Turkish Folk Tales brought to you weekly by the Voice of Turkey Radio. This week's tale is A Father's Will. Once upon a time, a man had three sons. When this man was about to die, he called his eldest son and said, "My son, when I die, will you keep watch over my grave for 3 days?" "No, I can't," his son replied. He then called his middle son and said, "Son, when I die, will you keep watch over my grave for 3 days?" "No, I can't," his son replied. The father then called his youngest son and asked him the same question. "Son, when I die, will you keep watch over my grave for 3 days?" "Dad, even if you tell me to keep watch for 100 days, I will do so," he replied. The man passed away after stating his will, and his younger son started keeping watch immediately after his father's death. At midnight, a white horse carrying clothes and a weapon descended from the sky and circled the grave 3 times. At that moment, the young man woke up and caught the horse. "Why did you turn around the grave 3 times?" he asked. "I used to follow your father's orders while he was alive. I will visit your father's grave now and leave," the white horse replied. Just before leaving, the white horse plucked a hair from its mane and gave it to the young man. "Burn this hair whenever you are in a difficult situation. When you call me, I will be there for you," the horse said. The boy was again keeping watch the following night. Again, at midnight, a black horse descended from the sky and circled the grave 3 times. The young man got up and caught the black horse. "Why did you circle the grave 3 times?" he asked. "I was your father's horse. He would call me whenever he was going to ride. Now he is dead, and I descended from the sky to visit his grave," the black horse replied. "Let me give you a token," the horse said, and plucked a hair from its mane and gave it to the young man. "Burn this hair whenever you are in a difficult situation, and when you call me, I'll be there right away," the horse said, and flew away. On the third day, another black horse came down from the sky, and this horse, too, gave the young man a hair from its mane. On the fourth day, the boy stood guard over the grave, but no one came. Thus he completed his guard duty. On the other hand, when the three brothers lost their father's property because of their elder brother, they went to another city and started working as shepherds. While the younger brother watched over the sheep, his older brothers went to the city where they witnessed a clamorous event. The Sultan had a staircase of 40 steps placed on the palace. He had his daughter's palace built at the top of that staircase and announced to the public that whoever climbed to the staircase on a horse, drank a glass of water from his daughter's hand, and took the engagement ring from her hand would marry her at a wedding that would last 40 days and contests that would last 30 days. This news spread all over the country. All horsemen headed towards the palace to climb the 40 steps, but none of them could and collapsed and fell to the ground while people watched them. The two brothers told this story to their little brother. "Hey, little brother, we saw a very interesting event in the city. Watch over the sheep tomorrow. Let me go to the city and see what's going on there," the young man said. The two brothers didn't let him go, saying that if he did so, they would starve. The next day, his brothers went to the city to watch that event once again. Meanwhile, the younger brother's sheep grazed until noon, when he gathered them under a tree and left them there to sleep. Then he burned the hair of the white horse that immediately descended from the sky, carrying clothes and a weapon. The young man put on the clothes, took the weapon, and rode the horse to the Sultan's palace. When he arrived in the city, he rode his horse to the stairs and said, "Woe!" The horse climbed 38 steps and then descended. The crowd below watching him was shouting, saying, "If you say woe again, you will climb all the 40 steps." The young man then returned to the countryside and continued to herd his sheep. In the evening, his brothers came and told him what had happened. "Watch over the sheep tomorrow. Let me go to the city and see what's going on there," the young man said. His two brothers didn't let him go, saying that if he did so, they would starve. The next morning, his brothers went to the city once again to watch the event. The young man took his sheep to graze in the field until noon, when he gathered them under a tree and left them there to sleep. This time he burned the hair of the black horse. At that moment, the black horse descended from the sky, carrying clothes and a weapon. The young man put on the clothes, took the weapon, and rode the horse straight to the Sultan's palace, where he turned his horse towards the staircase and said, "Woe!" The horse rode up until the 39th step, and then it rode down. People watching him said the young boy wasn't brave enough to climb the 40 steps. The event ended late in the evening, and the crowd dispersed. The young man's brothers came back and told him the whole story. "Watch over the sheep tomorrow. Let me go to the city and see what's going on there," the young man said. His two brothers didn't let him go, saying that if he did so, they would starve. In the morning, his brothers once again went to the city to watch the fuss. The young man took his sheep to graze in the field until noon, when he gathered them under a tree and left them there to sleep. He then burned the hair of the third black horse. At that moment, the black horse descended from the sky, carrying clothes and a weapon. The young man rode the horse onto the celebration area, where he turned the head of the horse towards the staircase and said, "Woe!" Whereupon the horse climbed until the 40th step and reached the princess's throne. The young man dismounted the horse and drank a glass of water from the princess's hand. He then took the ring from her hand and returned to the countryside. He sent the horse away and took his sheep to graze in the field. His brothers came and told him what had happened. "Watch over the sheep tomorrow. Let me go to the city and see what's going on there," the young man said. His two brothers didn't let him go, saying that the fuss was over. One day, the Sultan issued a nationwide decree saying that whoever had drunk water from his daughter's hand and taken the ring had to introduce himself, and then the wedding would start. The Sultan invited people to dinner every day. He held a feast for 30 days and poured water on people's hands to see the engagement ring, but no one had the ring on their finger. "Is there anyone left?" the Sultan asked his vizier. "The only ones left are the shepherds in the countryside, my liege," the vizier replied. The Sultan told his vizier to summon the shepherds. The three brothers arrived at the palace, and while the Sultan was pouring water on their hands, he saw that the young one had the engagement ring on his finger. The two brothers wondered where their little brother had got the ring from. The young man told his brothers about the mysterious incident while he was on guard duty over his father's grave for 3 days. They regretted not having listened to their father. The young man and the princess got married at a wedding that lasted for 40 days. A month later, the Sultan passed away and the young man ascended the throne as the next Sultan. When the two brothers came to know that their little brother had become the Sultan, they regretted not having listened to their father and were very sad. And this ends our program for this week. Join us next week in another edition of Turkish Folk Tales, brought to you weekly by the Voice of Turkey Radio. Until then, goodbye.
Turkish Folk Tales.
all around the world. Every hour of the day, TRT Voice of Türkiye is with you.
Çare bulunmuş bize, bitti o bilmece. Son şarkı bu küskün hallere, ayrı kalma öylece. İçimde mevsim hep ılık, gönülleri gün doğmalık. Dön artık, yüzümden oldu ayrılık. Bağışla kalbi tertemiz saflık. Ben ağlarım, seninle ağlarım. Yazarız derdi tüm şiirlere. Cennet yanım, yoluma bağlıyım. Gideriz belki tüm şiirlere. Ben ağlarım, seninle ağlarım. Yazarız derdi tüm şiirlere. Yoluna bağlıyım, gideriz belki tüm şehirlere. Çare bulunmuş bize, bitti o bilmece. Son şarkı bu küskün hallere, ayrı kalma öylece. İçimde mevsim hep ılık, gönülleri gün doğmalık. Dön artık, yüzümden oldu ayrılık. Bağışla kalbi tertemiz saflık. Ben ağlarım, seninle ağlarım. Yazarız derdi tüm şiirlere. Cennet yanım, yolunla bağlıyım. Gideriz belki tüm şiirlere. Ben ağlarım, seninle ağlarım. Yazarız derdi tüm şiirlere. Cennet yanım, yoluna bağlıyım, gideriz belki tüm şehirlere.
By your side.
That's why.
Hello dear listeners, and welcome to today's program, That's Why, where we will be focusing on how simple measures regarding our health can protect us from significant dangers. We are starting this week's episode with the statement, "That's why I'm brushing my teeth," to emphasize the importance of oral and dental health for our overall quality of life. In our bodies, there are various systems, each with distinct functions. Though their roles differ, the functioning of these systems is interconnected. An issue in one system can jeopardize seemingly unrelated systems. Research indicates a potential link between gum diseases and heart conditions, highlighting the significance of oral health for overall well-being. Not too long ago, dental cavities were among the diseases that could lead to fatal consequences. Despite advancements in medicine and the pharmaceutical industry, oral and dental care remains a crucial aspect of our health. Inflammation and gum diseases in the mouth are known to cause systemic inflammation in the body. Chronic inflammation is associated with heart diseases, diabetes, and other systemic disorders. Oral and dental care primarily involves a set of behaviors aimed at preventing diseases. Foremost among these is brushing our teeth twice a day for 2 to 3 minutes each time. Brushing removes dental plaque and bacteria from the mouth, serving as the fundamental step in dental care. Brushing also cleans the gums and enhances blood circulation, supporting gum health. By brushing our teeth, we rid the mouth of food residues and bacteria, thereby eliminating bad breath. Additionally, the brushing process removes harmful acids from the tooth enamel, preventing tooth sensitivity. Alongside brushing, avoiding sugary, acidic foods is another crucial measure for oral and dental health. Biannual dental checkups allow us to take precautions against painless, asymptomatic diseases. And there you have it, dear listeners, the importance of taking care of our oral health through the simple act of brushing our teeth. Remember, our oral health is not just about maintaining a beautiful smile. It is about safeguarding our overall well-being. So, let's make a commitment to give priority to our dental care every day. With that, we wish you all bright smiles and good health. Until next time, take care and keep brushing those teeth. Bye.
That's why.
sevdim ama sevildim mi bilemiyorum. Ağlamak çok zor, ağlamamak çok zor, ağlayamamak çok zor. Her gün seni kaderimden dileniyorum. Bir dilencim senden aşkı dilenen, her fırsatta hor görülüp belki gülüp alay edilen. Kaderimin yolunu, yolunu.
Listening to the Voice of Turkey's English language transmission broadcasting from Ankara in the 16-meter band between 12:30 UTC and 176.20 kHz to Europe. You can listen to us over the TurkSat 3A and 4A satellites and on the internet at www.trtdinle.com through radio's link and under the Voice of Turkey Radio's expandable section. Our email address is englishdesk@trt.net.tr. Thank you for listening to the Voice of Turkey and goodbye.
Radio La Voce della Turchia. Radio La Voce della Turchia. Radio La Voce della Turchia. Türkiye'yle radyo La Voce della Türkiye. Radio La Voce della Turchia.